you would mind spreading the word and saying, hey, you know, check this out over here at this point in time. We try to bring a word directly from the Word of God and in a way that is going to be applicable and helpful in your life. And so we want to thank you for doing that. Today we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 15. We've already covered verses 15 and 16 and 17, but I'm going to read those to set up the context for verse number 18. It says, "Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless." That brings us to verse number 18. "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter." And that's where we're going to cease the reading for today. So we are looking at the worship of God versus the worship of idolatry. And I had told you that today was going to be a really good program, and it's meant to be good in that it is supposed to be meant to be thought provoking, and it is supposed to be helpful in establishing our priorities. So Isaiah, through the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit through Isaiah, says, "To whom then will you liken God?" Who does God, and I've got written down here in my notes, who will you say that God resembles? Okay, who does he resemble? It is not just in appearance, but who could possibly be comparable to God in magnitude? Who could be comparable to God as far as moral supremacy? Who could be compared to God in love? There are a lot of different aspects. So today I want to fixate on this. What is possibly comparable to God? And yet all of us are prone to doing just that. Okay. The Bible says that it is not wise when we compare ourselves with one another. And the reason for that is because when we compare ourselves with one another, one of us is going to feel good about ourselves and the other is not going to feel good about ourselves. If you are a carpenter and or in construction and you read a tape measure, but it is not a tape measure that is accurate, and then you go to where you need to cut something and you use a tape measure that is according to the actual standard, then you're going to get something that's either too long or too short. And so here not too long ago, I was working on something and I measured it and I cut it and it was still too long. And I want you to know, if you're going to cut something, that is the preferred way to do it. Don't be like the guy who says, "I don't understand. I cut this thing three times and it's still too short." I measured it, and what I didn't realize was that it had different depths and different parts. And so where I linked my tape measure, I thought I was linking it at the very end, but I wasn't. And it was actually quite frustrating trying to, I was like, I know I'm reading this tape measure. I can't tell you how many different times I put that tape measure on there and measured it. And so I finally concluded what I had done incorrectly and got the problem resolved. But it was so frustrating because, you know, at one point in time, I was convinced I was dealing with something that was an improper standard. So what will we compare God to? What does God resemble? Who does God resemble? And the truth of the matter is that he is beyond compare. It is not just in his appearance. It is not just in his magnitude or his size. It is also, he is incomparable when it comes to justice. So every injustice must be measured against the justice of God. And so God, in his word, details how society is supposed to handle someone who is acting in an unjust manner, who is mistreating mankind, or was living their life in an unjust manner against God. Because that happened a lot in the Old Testament. It still happens in the New Testament. And so whenever you and I start looking at the mercy of God, we can say thank God for his mercy, because some of the old standards would have left us as an example of God's correction instead of a recipient of God's grace. So thank God for his mercy. So I wanted to look at this today. How do people compare God? Because there is a comparison of God in the spiritual aspect, and believe it or not, there are many people who reject God as God, and they have chosen to embrace different religions or objects of worship. Some people even go so far as to worship Satan. That's deceived. That is thoroughly, completely, and totally deceived. There are other people that they worship all sorts of idols, and then you've got secular humanism, you have hedonism, where people worship pleasure and stuff like that. So verse 18, 19, and 20 all begin to deal with the comparing of God, of worshiping God, the one true God, with worshiping idols. And so we'll touch on some of that part of it tomorrow. So I've got some things that are written down here. I am assigned as the under shepherd to the chief shepherd, who is Jesus. I am assigned as the under shepherd, or the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. So my responsibility is to not pastor in the way that, you know, I think or I want or I do. It's to pastor the way that God wants to pastor the church. And so I have this mindset that whenever there is a decision to be made, the first thing that I do is filter Bob out of the equation. So a lot of people think, well, you know, pastors, they rule with an iron fist and all of that sort of stuff. Well, you know, everybody has an opinion, and they all think that they're entitled to that. And my opinion as a person, as an individual, is subject to the Lordship of God just as much as anybody else's. And so I have to evaluate and say, why do I feel this way? Why do I think this way? Because I only want to do the things that are pleasing to God. I don't want anybody, you know, staff included, to do the things that are pleasing to Bob. Because it's not Bob. I didn't give my life. Jesus did. So several years ago, we had a our congregation do a health assessment. We were trying to narrow down our congregation's mindset. What do we do well? What do we need to improve on? Things like that. And one of the questions that was on the survey or the assessment was, how much does your pastor remind you of Jesus? And it was on a scale of, I don't know, 1 to 5 or something like that. And I remember seeing this one response, and it said, not very much. And I could not tell you what any of the other responses were. There was just one. There was just one that stuck out. And it's like, well, Jesus isn't changing, but Bob needs to change. And so there are many people, many roles that are filled in society. And if you measure people by their title to God, you're going to find that God comes out far better. So Jesus is our lawgiver. He's a much better lawgiver than Congress. Congress has one of the worst approval ratings of any entity in society. They can't get along together. They can't even agree together on what words mean. You know, it is the way that it operates is beyond what I would choose to operate. And that's okay. Let's find what we can agree on. And let's do that, even if it means we are able to do a little thing. Let's start there, and let's keep working forward on our agreements instead of just getting stuck in the mud because we can't agree whether or not the sun comes up in the east or not. So Jesus is not only our lawgiver, but he is also our lawyer. The Bible describes him as our advocate, our attorney. And so you could compare him to an attorney. And yet there are some attorneys that if you told me they look like Jesus, especially some of them on television, some of them that I have seen some video of them when the television cameras weren't on, and their behavior and their speech, it was like, I don't care if they say how much they love Jesus on the television commercial. What they're doing right now is they're lying in one of those two instances. Those two statements are not compatible. And so I don't want to compare Jesus by that lawyer. That lawyer is going to be measured by Jesus, but I can't compare him to a lawyer. I can't measure him according to judges. There are a lot of judgments, decisions that are made sometimes on local levels, sometimes on national levels. And it's like, how in the world did you manage to come up with that decision? And it would be decisions by judges that, you know, would say, this is who I am in my judicial philosophy, and then completely disregard all that and rule in a manner that is inconsistent with the person that they claim to be. I want you to know that if you compare God with those judges, you're going to find that God, the judge, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What about kings or presidents? I will tell you this, just about every president that we have had that I have observed, I've listened to, I have heard transcripts of, most of them are not always gracious with their words. Most of them have some very profane language that comes up when they think that they're going to get by with saying it, and it doesn't happen. So if one person does it, the person says, well, how dare you speak like that? And it's like, but wait a minute, we've heard you talk like that as well. And so I say things like that because whether it's a lawyer or a lawgiver or a judge or a president or a king, you are never going to find a person that compares well when you compare them to God. They're all going to come short of the glory of God, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, we've talked about some other people. I mean, I even threw pastors in there. You know, hopefully you see some similarities in us to Jesus. Not going to be perfect. Jesus was the only one that was perfect, but hopefully we reflect him in a manner and represent him in a manner that people say, you look like Jesus. You speak like Jesus. You know, that was what got Peter noticed by the little girl. Your speech, you were with him. You talk like him. And so, but even if is the best pastor, you know, the it's Charles Stanley that comes on before me here on WMIE. It's Adrian Rogers that comes on after me. I'm sandwiched by two great, great communicators who built wonderful, wonderful churches. And I will tell you, they resemble Jesus, but they don't fully resemble Jesus. And they do a better job of representing him than I do. So don't think that I am attacking them. I admire their ministries. I admire them individually. I appreciate them. They're a blessing to the body of Christ. I'm just saying, no matter how good a pastor you are, it's still not going to compare perfectly with Jesus. Here about a month ago, the pastor of the seniors at my parents' church retired. He retired after being in the ministry full-time for 65 years. He had been the seniors' pastor at the church for 25 years under three different pastors, I believe. And one of the pastors that he served under said, if you look up the dictionary, or in the dictionary of heaven, under pastor, you're going to see a picture of this pastor, because he was a pastor's pastor. He was a wonderful pastor. But, you know, we hopefully do good, but we need to improve. One that happens every June is that come Father's Day, many people compare God to their earthly father instead of comparing their earthly father to a perfect God. And so many people struggle with the concept of God in any of these areas, wherever there is a poor representation or a poor resemblance to who Jesus actually is. So I took a picture of myself several years ago. I was using it for a sermon illustration, and there was a filter on my phone, and it was like the mirror at the carnival or the fair when I was growing up. And so one, you looked really tall and thin. There was another one where you looked really short and stubby. There was one where you had a massive head and not that much of a body. There was another one where you had a massive body, but not very big of a head. And the thing about those were all of those were poor reflections of the actual photo that was pumped into the computer. They did a poor job representing. So this says, to whom then will you liken God? So let's look at some other things that people compare with God, and many times they choose the other thing and deem God of lesser value. What about your hobby? Now, I'm not saying you should never have a hobby. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a hobby. I believe that all of us are called to enjoy life, and we all do different things. But that hobby should still remain subservient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so I don't elevate my hobby over spending time with God. I choose to make my hobby a part of my time of spending with God. What about your kids? Now, listen, you need to love your children. You need to be a living example to your kids of who Jesus is. But there are a lot of people who spend so much time catering to their kids that they have never demonstrated to their children the importance of having a relationship with Jesus, being faithful to the house of God, being faithful to the Word of God, and developing not just their athletic prowess, but developing the character of their heart as well. You can be the most athletically gifted, but if you're a cheat, a thief, and a bully, nobody's going to want to be around you, and they're not going to want you to be on their team. So whatever you do, do not place any relationship as higher priority than your relationship with God. I saw something here about a month or so ago. A person had, they had said, you know what, the key to the improvement of my life was spending less time with God and more time with my family. Well, that's a very short-sighted comparison. Because of the industry that they live in, the relationships that they are talking about tend to be very short-lived. And the people that they're boasting of today, they will be complaining about in the near future, and who is going to pick up the pieces of their broken heart? God compares better to any relationship. What about your finances? What about your finances? So my wife and I, we were watching some YouTube sermons, and Robert Morris was on there. He's one of many that we watch. And he said, if you ask people how they feel about people who take money out of the offering plate or rob from a church, they would say, I can't believe anybody would do that. And he said, but God has said that the first 10% of your income belongs to him, and yet there are many people who treat that money as theirs, and it is the same as taking money or robbing out of the church storehouse. And so I want to ask you, don't make finances, don't demean God and elevate your finances. The New Testament says greed is idolatry. And so I pray that when you compare your finances to God, that God comes out on top. When you compare him with any other office, you find that God comes out on top. When you compare him with any other way that you could spend your time, I pray that when it comes to comparing God with your job, that God comes out on top. I shared this story recently with our congregation that at one point in time I had a job. It was paying me, it was well less than $2 an hour. I was 15 years old, and minimum wage was less than $2, and it was significantly less than $2. And so I was working, but this job had me working on the weekend. And this was a time before there were multiple church services, you know, 18 services on a weekend and all that sort of stuff. And so the only time you could go to church was Sunday morning, and I was missing out on that. And after 2 weeks, I said, you know what, this job, this $20 or $30 that I'm going to make over these 2 days, which is a lot of money as a 15-year-old, isn't worth crippling myself spiritually over. So I quit. It could be your time. And I will tell you, there's no one who's a better use of your time or a better way to invest your time than spending it with God. What about your toys? You see, the list goes on and on and on. It's not just comparing Jehovah God with Molech or Baal or Asherah. The scripture here says, to whom then will you liken God? We can point fingers at other people all day long, but all of us are making comparisons. I make comparisons to God. You make comparisons to God. It's just sometimes we don't really realize that we've demoted God and elevated other things in our life. I want to encourage you today to treat God with the justice that he deserves. Treat him as if he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Treat him as if he is the lover of your souls. Treat him as if he is the holiest one in the universe. Treat him as if he is your beginning and your end, the redeemer of your soul, the access that he's the one who provides you access to the throne room of heaven, because all of those things are who he is. Let's make sure that when we compare other things with God, no matter who it is or what it is or what title it is, that God always comes out, because he is an accurate standard. God bless you. You have a great day. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
How